Hi, I'm Rosalinda Noriega. I work with Partners in Prevention. Do I really need this microphone?
No.
I've been in theater my whole life. I know how to project my voice. Partners in Prevention Education works with homeless youth, homeless and at-risk youth and young adults in Thurston County. We do two things. We provide direct services to those that are affected by sexual and domestic violence, and we also work with youth to educate the community about the root causes and the connections between youth homelessness, sexual violence, and domestic violence. And so what I want to do tonight is just give you a little education about when we're talking about homeless youth and young adults, who are we talking about and why are they out on the streets? And what does this have to do with the bigger picture of homelessness? Because when kids are ending up out on the streets, it's starting that cycle of homelessness that can be very difficult to break free of. And so I'm just going to run through as quickly as I can just some general information. So when we're talking about homeless youth and young adults, generally youth means 17 and under. For the purposes of Partners in Prevention, the youth that we've worked with have suggested that we work with young adults up to at least 24. So that's where that came from. It's kind of an arbitrary number. Other communities choose to identify young adults up to 30. So when we're talking about youth that are out on the street, I think a lot of times people in the community think that youth are just out on the streets because they don't want to follow their parents' rules. And I just want to give you kind of a breakdown of who these youth are that are out on the street and what led them there. There are runaways, those that have left home because conditions have become unbearable. It may be because of violence that they're experiencing in the home, abuse, neglect. A lot of the young people that I've talked to have talked about how their parents don't care about them, don't give them the time of day. They don't feel a sense of nurturing and support. And so they can find that out in their street family. There are throwaway youth whose family don't want them there. Maybe there's homophobia going on because that youth is figuring out their sexual identity and the family's not happy about it. Maybe it's over educational concerns. The youth is not doing good in school or has dropped out or something like that. Or it's just financially too much for the family to take care of everybody that's in the home, and so somebody has to get forced out. Kids that are at risk are those who have a history of running away, those whose basic needs aren't being met, food, shelter, nurturance, things like that, those that are entering in the child welfare system and the juvenile justice system, especially those with a history of physical, sexual, or emotional abuse, and of course, economic insecurity in the family. Street dependent is another term, and that is used to recognize youth that are living on the streets who have become entrenched in street life, and thereby they get alienated from traditional services, and they get acclimated to street life. And so they start to form community, family, street family, with peers that become their brothers and sisters, and older adults who become like a mother or a father figure to them, might offer them some shelter for the evening, might try to help them with some mentoring. And sometimes it's a great situation. Other times it can be very unstable because, you know, as anybody who's ever been a teenager, which I'm sure a few of you have been, knows, is there can be a lot of drama that comes up in that time of life. And when that drama happens, if you're staying with somebody who is not your family, most especially, there is more of a likelihood of that home environment not being a stable environment because, hey, if I don't have to deal with this drama, I don't want to, and you're out of here tonight, right now. And so there's some instability there. So we have to understand that we're dealing with both youth culture and street culture, because if we're not dealing with from that point and we're only dealing from our own perspective of being housed community members, we have a potential of doing more harm for those that are out on the streets with good intention, but still our actions may do more harm than good. And so it's really important that if you want to advocate on behalf of folks that are out on the street, then go talk to the folks that are out on the street and find out what they need and what they're saying, and take that, use your power and your privilege to take that message out. Don't assume that you know what folks need. Okay, so the root causes of youth homelessness include sexual, physical, and emotional abuse, family conflict, dropping out of school. There's a lack of permanence for many of the reasons that I've mentioned. Their home life is devoid of nurturance and support. There's homes in which drug and alcohol played a destructive role. Maybe it was the youth themselves. Maybe it was other people in the household. Sometimes it is a need for independence. Financial insecurity, family rejection, aging out of foster care, which is a huge one. When folks are in the foster care system and they turn 18 and they're out and they're trying to navigate, you know, being out in the world, it can be very difficult. And then, of course, those with criminal records. It's very hard to find housing when you have a criminal record. It's hard to find people that will take you in. The prevalence of domestic violence among youth who are homeless. We did a survey in 2004 with local youth out on the streets. 72% of them indicated that they had experienced an abusive home life. 72%. So when people say that kids aren't home, that they're out on the street because they don't want to follow their parents' rules, what I always have to say is that they're out on the street because they feel that it's a safer place than it was at home. The homeless census count found that 1 in 5 folks that are experiencing homelessness are under the age of 18. 30% are homeless, self-identified as being homeless due to family breakup, 25% due to domestic violence, and 25% due to alcohol and drug abuse. The Thurston County Domestic Violence Task Force estimates that there are over 6,000 kids in our county that are living in domestic violence situations. This alone puts them at risk for experiencing future homelessness. And when I say future, it may be in an hour because there's some type of explosion that happens at home, and one of the parents decides that it's safer to take the kids out of the home, or it may be next week or next month. But there are over 6,000 children in our community that are merely at risk. There are almost 700 people in our community who are experiencing homelessness right now. The prevalence of sexual abuse among youth that are homeless. Researchers estimate that 60% of girls and 25% of boys experience sexual abuse prior to leaving the home. And that once they're out on the street, they're at greater risk of experiencing sexual abuse, sexual exploitation, people introducing them into prostitution. And of course, folks that have, what this one is about is that sexual minorities, meaning gays, lesbians, bisexual, transgender folks, are victimized 7 times more than the heterosexual youth. So this alone could be a reason why some youth are out on the street, because they're figuring their family's not supportive, their peers are not supportive, they're trying to figure out who they are. They've been re-victimized over and over again, and so they're trying to better their lives. And who are we to judge about what better means? The impact that all of this has on youth, both being homeless and experiencing different forms of violence, is that they're constantly feeling unsafe. They're feeling unable to trust adults. They're experiencing intrusive thoughts and imageries, nightmares, flashbacks, things like that, to violent situations that they've experienced. Nightmares and sleep disturbances, depression, anxiety, self-esteem issues, eating issues, anger, violence, cockiness. I hear a lot in this community that people are concerned with the hooligans that are out on the street and blocking the sidewalk, and that they're afraid of them. What I can tell you about the youth that I know is that if there is any display of cockiness, that this is a defense mechanism. This is a way for that person to feel for that moment that they have some power, that they can defend themselves against you and what you think about them and why they're there. So it's important to understand where people are coming from. It's important to take what you learned tonight and educate the rest of the community, because quite honestly, I'm glad everybody's here, but quite honestly, it feels like preaching to the choir. And so I hope that all of you will go out into the community and you will educate other people in the community about why folks are out on the street and how they're living. There's self-harm. Folks that are so overwhelmed by the trauma and the abuse that they've experienced that to deal with it, they're cutting themselves. They're hurting themselves in some way because that is the most immediate way to release that pain. So they're trying to deal with it. It may not be in the healthiest ways, but these are the ways that they know how to deal. Using drugs and alcohol to numb themselves, committing crimes to perhaps meet basic needs. Survival, sex, and prostitution. You might wonder why somebody would prostitute themselves. Why not if other people have sexually assaulted you and that has obviously not been your choice? Why not make the choice to earn a little income, to have some access to shelter or to food for the night? My friend needs help syndrome is something that is where a youth may come to someone and say, hey, you know, I know this friend who's dealing with substance abuse issues, and how can I help them? So it's not up to me to figure out whether or not that youth is talking about themselves or is actually talking about another friend, because if they are talking about that other friend, they are trying to be useful to that friend by gathering up that information and taking it back to their friend. And that's the way that they support each other. Again, it goes back to family. Thoughts of suicide and what screened memories is when you're out on the streets, you may not have a real clear chronological order of the way everything happens. So if somebody tells me that X, Y, and Z happened, and then tomorrow they tell me that Z, Y, and X happened, it's in a different order. So I may be thinking, oh, that person's not being truthful to me. And so I may be suspicious of what they're telling me and if I can trust them in the future. But when you're out on the streets, things have a way of changing when they happened. And so it's just important to remember that it can be more difficult, a lot more difficult, to track time when you don't have a home and you don't have a clock on you and you don't have the same routine every day other than trying to provide for how you're going to stay safe, be fed, and sheltered. So many of you may know that living situations vary between living on the streets, staying with friends, staying in abandoned buildings or rooftops, camping, shelters, group homes. And so folks are just looking for their basic needs to be met, which can be a huge challenge and can take a lot of energy. Youth are surviving without adequate resources. There are some amazing resources in our community, like community youth services. However, they're open 4 days a week. That is not enough. When I've talked to youth and young adults about what they need, they're telling me that they need something that's open at night, that they can just be there when everything else is closed. If they can't be out on the street, then they need a place to be. They're living outside of the law because they're marginalized. They're pushed to the sides, just like this ordinance is doing. They may be on drugs, maybe not, or at least dealing with other folks that are on drugs. If they're trying to be clean, it may be that's a huge struggle because other people around them are doing it, because perhaps street family is doing it. And I've heard over and over again that there is some reluctance to access some of the social services because of drug use or alcohol use or violent tendencies of other individuals that access those same services. So although we have some really amazing services, it's important to have a continuum of services so that folks can make choices about where they go and they're not just stuck with just a small handful of options, because those options may not be safe for that individual. They're dealing with daily traumatization, sleep deprived, undernourished. They're dealing with the same range of problems that we are, and more. On the streets, the three biggest things are to survive, to not rat on other people that are on the streets, and to have integrity. So when you're talking to somebody out on the street, say what you mean and mean what you say. So if I had any suggestions, and a lot of this has come from the youth that we work with, is to see people as people. When you're passing somebody that's out on the street, look them in the eye. That's the number one thing I hear from folks that are out on the street. Just look them in the eye and acknowledge them. If they're asking for spare change and you don't have it or you don't want to give it, it's fine. Just look them in the eye and say, not today. And smile or whatever, but treat people like they're people. Raise awareness. If you serve youth, some of this is for service providers. Educate yourself about the correlations between sexual violence, domestic violence, and homelessness. Not just youth homelessness, but homelessness in general. Because there's a huge connection. And like I said, not only is that a huge reason why people end up on the streets, but it's also something that they're facing out on the streets on top of all the other issues that we've raised tonight. Educate, educate, educate. That's about all I can say.